Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. We are here with Dr. Robert Sprinson. We're talking about velocardiofacial syndrome, also known as Sprinson syndrome, with the man who it's named after. Dr. Sprinson, as we took a break, we started talking a little bit about the mental health aspects of this syndrome, VCFS. And I find it interesting because I have to wonder, are the mental health, you talked about schizophrenia and other problems, are they a result of having the disease, or do they develop because someone has the disease? Or, you know, what have you learned about that aspect of it?
Well, it's very well recognized right now that the syndrome is a direct cause of mental illness. And the frequency of mental illness in VCFS is about 25 times higher than it is in the general population. And this is one of the things that's excited the research community, because it means that something in this deleted region of the genome is responsible for causing that mental illness. We do have candidate genes that are in that region that we're very excited about, that we think will lead to more effective treatments. And we're actually working on translating our laboratory findings and our research findings into treatment at this point.
So this goes back to a tie that we talk about on HealthLink On Air quite frequently, and that is that our mental health and physical health are really so closely tied together, even though traditionally we haven't thought of them that way.
Correct. And we can't discount the fact that children who are ill are under a lot of stress. And even if you have the predisposition towards some type of mental illness, adding stress to that will certainly make it a more obvious presentation. So in our management of patients, we obviously take into account not just the medical management with pills or with medications that will handle the problem, but also in how to structure lives, to keep stress off of people, to put them in environments that will make it less likely for them to disorganize.
You know, you raised the question of children and their families and management of disease. Let's kind of shift to that, because I think this is huge. I want listeners to understand that you really are the center of the VCFS universe, aren't you, here in upstate in Syracuse?
We would like to think so, but it's a little self-serving, I think.
Well, no, but I think my point is that you really have been, you've spearheaded most of the studies, even though there are people studying it all over the world now. You really are the person who's identified this and then spread out through the world. You have people coming from all over the world to be diagnosed by you.
Well, I was very fortunate to end up here at Upstate, coming here from New York City, and I must say that part of it was the promise by hospital administration and the medical university to be able to assemble a large, complex team. We have more than 30 professionals, excellent scientists, fabulous clinicians, researchers. I've mentioned Dr. Cates and Dr. Middleton, but they're just two out of 30 that we have in our program who are dedicated to seeing this. And our center is a full-time center for doing nothing other than seeing these children. And they come here literally from all over the world.
From all over the world. And they come here for this team that specializes in treatment, diagnosis and treatment of this. But this is something that they can't be cured of, right? It's genetic.
It can't be cured, but it can be treated. Mm-hmm. And so we sometimes have to treat at a symptomatic basis. But on other times, we're going after directly what is in the genome that we suspect is at the root of a particular problem and try to tailor treatments that are specific to those particular genetic factors.
And that is something that listeners have heard us talk about before. That's what we call personalized medicine.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's based on the genetic code.
Yes.
On the mapping of the human genome, and you're now working on medicines and other treatments that would, well, if not cure children, at least help manage the problems they're having?
We're very, very close right now. In fact, very shortly we'll be starting some clinical trials with medications for the mental illness issues. Our surgical management of the speech problems, of the heart problems, are exceptional. Dr. Tatum, who is our craniofacial surgeon, is clearly recognized as the world's leading expert in getting surgical outcomes for the craniofacial problems and the speech problems in these children. Dr. Alfieris is doing a wonderful job with their congenital heart disease. We have a very large and elaborate team that gets exceptional results recognizing the specific parameters that VCFS overlays on the treatment mm-hmm. system so that we can tailor our treatments to these particular children.
But this is even bigger than that, because you also have people who work with the families to help with the social aspects, to help with the emotional aspects, help with the travel aspects. I mean, this is much bigger than just the medical aspects of what happens with these children.
Absolutely. We have a full-time nurse practitioner, Anne Marie Higgins, who manages every single aspect of their life once they come here to Syracuse. Everything from their hotels to medical tests to drawing blood. And they get 100% personal attention while they're here.
They do.
But beyond that, we have what we call distance care. And she becomes the point contact for internet contact, for telephone calls. And we even see our patients who are at a great distance on Skype. Oh, yes. We use video.
Skype being the telephone, the video telephone on the computer.
We use video conferencing techniques so that we can assess our patients at a distance. Probably the furthest is a patient on Reunion Island, which is in the middle of the Indian Ocean, quite literally halfway around the world.
Oh, my gosh.
And so getting the timing right sometimes is difficult.
Sure.
But we see patients in Australia, Italy, England, Sweden, and this is a good way for us to keep in touch with them.
And I have to think then, with the advent of the internet and these technological advances, that has changed how you approach your management of the families and the children dramatically.
Oh, absolutely. Our speech pathologist, Eileen Marinen, often does speech therapy with the patients over Skype, because what we're doing is teaching the parents how to manage their children and applying it under our supervision.
Giving them the tools.
Yeah.
How does all this get paid for? Because I'm hearing a lot of services, some of them are certainly they're insurance reimbursable, or they're children with disabilities, and some of that gets taken care of by the state. But you're talking about an awful lot of stuff that doesn't fall into anybody's reimbursement parameters. How does it get paid for?
Yeah, correct. Well, we're highly dependent on two things. One is that we do have funding for our research, mostly through the federal government, but we have some other grants as well. And we depend very highly on donors to our program. Most of our money comes from grateful patients, and we've been fortunate to have a number of grateful patients who have given us sizable grants. But literally every single penny helps us to provide that kind of care, because we spend literally hours and hours with one patient on each particular day they're here.
And that is, from the patient's point of view, that's some of the most valuable time you can spend, is just that talk time, that listening time, hearing what they have to say. And you must learn a lot from that, too.
We do. It assists our research, because there's no better observer of a child's behavior or a child's medical condition than mom. And they really tell us everything we need to know.
That's true. I have a couple more questions I want to ask you, but I don't want to forget. You actually have a website and you've got a great video. I watched your whole video. Let's give the web address, and we will make sure, too, that we connect from healthlinkonair.org.
The best way to access it is VCFScenter. That's all one word. .org.
Okay.
And that will take you to the University Hospital website.
Okay. And people can make donations from there if they wish to.
Absolutely. There's a button to click there.
Yeah. Okay. What I want to talk about is the prevalence of this. And we talked about it's genetic, and you talked about that it's all over the world. But I want to make sure that families understand that there probably is some genetic testing for this, or no?
Yes,
before they have babies? Yes.
Yeah, this can be detected prenatally, and there is a molecular genetics test that's available, actually several different types of molecular genetics tests, and they're routinely applied these days.
And do you recommend, I mean, I'm thinking now you've got someone who has given birth and maybe the baby died from congenital heart disease, or maybe there was a miscarriage ahead of time or something like that. Is this something that parents should be aware of before they're pregnant or before they give birth?
Yes, I think so. And thankfully here in Syracuse, for example, if there were an event like that, these parents would probably be referred to the perinatal center. And the people here at the perinatal center are very familiar with the condition. And if they detect anything in the prenatal examination that would make them think of this diagnosis, they always contact us right away.
They do. And so parents can check on this before they ever get pregnant.
Absolutely.
Okay, but that's unusual. This is Central New York, and we have this resource here. If I lived in Toledo, Ohio, or Dallas, Texas, I wouldn't necessarily know about that.
Well, you know, it's estimated that more than 90% of Americans are connected to the internet. And I think that most parents, when they find out that there's a problem, that's probably the first place that they go. And if they take a look at congenital heart disease, or if somebody thinks it's velocardiofacial syndrome, they'll go to the website, and my name always pops up somewhere near the top of the
list. Yes, it does.
So, you know, that's what typically happens, and they contact us.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of, say, an OBGYN in Dallas, Texas, and a woman loses a baby. Is that OB going to know to make the suggestion? Or is this something that's just new enough that the suggestion isn't being made yet?
I would guess yes and no. I mean, I would think that most younger people in the field who have been educated, there are a lot of medical board questions about VCFS these days.
Oh, there are.
And so I think that most of the newer people coming into the field do know. So I think it's filtering down. It's getting there.
It's getting there. I have to say that in the, 22 years that you've been doing this work, you have made some incredible strides.
It's 37 years, actually, now.
My math isn't very good.
Well, I published this in 1978, but I first saw it in 1975. So it's you know, quite some time since we've been studying this.
Wow.
It's been a real odyssey. It's been a real trip.
Well, and, you know, it's been a great benefit to families who've been able to work with you. And Dr. Robert Sprinson, we are excited to have you here. I think this is just a fascinating conversation. It touches on so many aspects of medicine that patients are interested in learning about. I thank you for your time this morning.
No, thank you very much.
And we'll remind listeners, if they want to know more, if they'd like to make donations, vcfscenter.org, or go to the HealthLink On Air website. Thank you so much. And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.